Don't you know we're talking about a revolution sounds like a whisper. Don't you know we're talking about a revolution sounds like a whisper. While they're standing in the welfare lines, crying at the doorsteps of those armies of salvation, wasting time in the unemployment lines, sitting around waiting for a promotion. Don't you know, talking about a revolution sounds. Poor people gonna rise up and get their share. Poor people gonna rise up and take what's there. Don't you know you better run, 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 run. Oh, I said you better run, 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 run. Cause finally the tables are starting to turn. Talking about the revolution.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome, welcome, welcome to the Wednesday edition of the French Connection. My name is Daryl Bradford Smith. It is the 9th day of August 2006. Great to have you as a listener today to this most important of programs. I have said often, you know, that we are not a radio show. We are not. We're a political movement. That is a fact. We are trying to shift under the feet of these criminals all the things that they use to control us with. And, of course, little cracks are beginning to appear in their veneer, and we are making headway on a lot of issues, on a lot of areas. You know, the website, IamTheWitness.com, and my contact information, IamTheWitness@Hotmail.com, you may not get through to me on the email. I usually get 100 or plus emails a day. I have received none today. None. Zero. Not an email. Nothing. They have been blocking a lot of stuff on me or slowing it down over the months. There's been times when I corresponded with people that they sent it to me while I was on the phone with them and didn't get it to until a day later, and sometimes never. So there, you might not be surprised that they're looking through all my stuff, but I don't care if they do. There's nothing I'm hiding from them, so they can do that, and they've been listening to the phone calls. There's not a single phone call I can make to the States that I don't have to dial twice to get through. When I dial you, nothing happens. I get a deadline. So it's just that way for us these days. But what that tells me is that they're panicking in many ways. They're worrying about the truth coming out. And they're trying to spin the fact that Bush, Cheney, Rumsfeld did it all and move everybody away from the idea that the Zionists were in control of this whole thing, including the Mossad and their agents, were the people that instituted 9/11's disaster and terrorist attack on America by the Israeli Secret Service. Now, did it have elements of our government involved? Absolutely. Absolutely. But if you take a look at our government, it's pretty much all Zionists involved at the highest level of our executive anyway. And then if you look at the department heads through our Pentagon, you'll find the same thing. Going back as far as the discussions I had with Karen Kwiatkowski, you know, Feith and Libby and the rest of them were in charge of the Pentagon. And they've had 30 years to handpick their leadership in the military as well. Kay Griggs will tell you the story about how people are compromised before they even get up to the highest levels in the military. So it's not hard to understand how they've been able to do what they did and how they got the people at the highest level in America to go along with it. But even that system that they've had of silencing people is beginning to fall apart. It's coming as a result of the Internet, which I don't think when they made their original plans back in 1970s, they really understood the power of. And now they're playing catch-up, trying to stop the information being shared by many of us. And, of course, they're using blocking emails, and they're also using mis- and disinformation on the Internet from people. You'll notice Alex Jones, that lying cretinous Zionist, is over there on his show now talking about Israel. Well, where were you 2 months ago, Alex, with Israel? Well, no, 2 months ago you were saying that it wasn't the Israelis' fault that they murdered 34 sailors on the Liberty. That's what you were saying. 2 months ago, Alex Jones, you were saying that that it was America's fault that the Liberty got attacked, and that somehow Johnson ordered it, which is historically a lie, a bold-faced lie. And Mr. Innes over here at the officer of the deck explained that very clearly, that that's a bold-faced lie. But he's now having to come on board because apparently he's showing himself to be the liar he is, and the Zionist. He's a Zionist, guys. I'm telling you. Been saying it for a long time, and if it's not obvious to you now, there's still some dumb potato heads out there who think that, you know, well, look, he's talking about Israel. Yeah, when did he start? I mean, this guy's been studying this stuff for 13 years. I've been doing it for less than two. Well, you know, I'm a quick study, and I've had some very, very good people helping me get through the information. I've had help from people over here in Europe who knew the history of this stuff. I've had Colonel Barry Turner. Let me tell you something about Barry. British military, retired. He's in his, I think he's late 70s, almost 80 now. This man knows the story of world Zionism, and he filled me in. And so did Professor Stewart, and so did Felicity Arbuthnot, and so did so many, and even Dennis Halliday filled me in. And when I went back to the States and talked to people there, especially Eustace Mullins and others, they filled me in on more of the information. And then, lo and behold, if we didn't get a couple of contacts from people who had even deeper and more important things to tell us. So Eric and I were able to dig even further into this conspiracy and the timeline of it than anybody. We know more now than just about anybody in the world. And we've told you. But Alex here, 13 years, and he's still saying that the Israelis had nothing to do with the attack on the Liberty. That it was Lyndon Johnson ordered it. Okay, well, you know, he's trying to save his listeners so that he can marshal them into whatever problem they can set up for them. Me, I'm trying to find some solutions here. You know, Jim Condit's ideas, if well implemented and actually worked on, and it's going to take some effort, guys. The Condit ideas that were about the voting precinct idea, which is written up on our website, is a very good idea, but it's going to require a commitment. It will require effort. Now, you and I both know that 90% of the American public can't make that kind of effort. They're not intellectually capable. But there is a 10% group out there. Most of my, I would say all of my listeners, if they've spent any time on our site, we're not fun radio, and this is not a fun political movement. This is a serious exercise here, trying to save a nation that means so much to so many people. And so, by and large, you folks are the capable ones in the group. You are the opinion shapers. And it will be falling on your shoulders to maybe mount some of these ideas and put them into action, because if you don't, no one else will. Fact. Now, you know, the people are still trying to rip us away from each other. Stick with the facts here. Stick with what we've been able to research. Look into the nuances of our efforts, you know, because sometimes we make mistakes, and you'll find me. You know, I will cop to any error I make. I really will. And I've had a guy recently talking to me about the discrepancies in what Jim Condit had to say about his position. And what I did was put him and Jim together. And what they found out in their conversation was that they were basically asking different questions of each other. And when they finally got the questions sorted out, they weren't very far apart on much of what they were talking about. So, but these are the kinds of things that we can do. Working through this stuff, you know, this is not a fun thing for me to do. And I was just talking to Eric, you know, about putting somebody up for a political office so we can run some national advertising. And he made the point of we can't even get people to donate a dollar to us, which is amazing because it's true. You would think with over 10,000 listeners, we would be able to get a couple of $100 a month. Well, you're wrong. And I think it's probably because people are embarrassed to send a dollar, or they don't think it's worth bothering to go down to their post office and put a dollar in an envelope, or, you know, to use their PayPal for a buck. Well, guys, I got to be honest with you. The stuff doesn't come in. Now, I don't know if we're getting stopped or somebody stealing it from the Postal Service or from PayPal, but I don't think so. We need a couple of bucks, and if we're going to do something with Eric running for office, because I can't do it from France, maybe we're going to run Eric for a federal office so we can put some ads across the country. It would take some money. So if you think it's a good idea, send me a note. Say, yeah, I think it's a good idea, because then I'll start asking people to, you know, if everybody from 10,000 sent 10 bucks in, we would have 100 grand to mount a national ad campaign. We could tell this whole story in an ad in some very select markets. I don't know if I'd pick, I don't think I'd pick New York or Los Angeles because those are already sold out. I think I would go to the markets where we could get the biggest bang for our buck, where people are already fed up. New Hampshire would be one of them. And I'd get New Hampshire on our side right away. And some other states out there that are working really hard to, you know, upstage the criminals from Washington. But the truth rings powerfully, ladies and gentlemen. It's a powerful force when you hear it. And I think everybody, as I've said to you all, are ready to hear the truth. They're ready now. You know, this most recent round of nonsense coming out that's Bush, Cheney, Rumsfeld, well, I'm not really angered about that because for many people, that'll be their first introduction to these facts and the idea that that their country could have actually killed its own citizens. But when you find out the whole story, you'll find out that they've been killing us for generations. You know, they murdered with full knowledge. They murdered those sailors in Pearl Harbor, and you know, I think the Maine was also blown up in Havana Harbor, and you'll find out that we've done a lot of egregious and horrendous things. And we're finding out that we've done actually more than I even thought we had done in these past years. And what we've done to the third world is even more criminal. We'll talk about that one day when I bring somebody on to discuss it. But in a nutshell, it's we subsidize our agriculture, and so we run these poor countries into they have, you know, all agriculture doesn't require a high technology unless you're making Frankenstein food. But regular food doesn't, what they do is places like South America and Middle and Central America and Africa, where they could be growing a lot of our foods for us. These people get their ability to sell to the European and American markets are destroyed by subsidies that we pay as taxpayers, which ends up costing us more for our food and destroys the third world's ability to make a living. Then we lend their governments money at usury prices through the World Bank and through the IMF, which they can never pay back, and then by doing so, all of their available cash that they could be using for education and other purposes gets eaten up in debt service and corruption, which they always put in a puppet that they allow to steal. You can see that time and time again. And then they turn around and blame the person's heritage for not being capable. If he's black, he can't do it anyway. None of the blacks can do that. That's what they say. Or, look, he's just some Hispanic criminal, you know, general crook from, you know, they're always crooks in Central America. Well, no, they're not, ladies and gentlemen. And no, there is no more or less capacity or capability from any other race than any other. The fact is that we've been in control, and the European governments under the Zionist control have been installing governments in these poor nations forever. Look what happened when a real thinker took over a nation. Look at Malaysia. Look at what Mahathir Mohamad was able to do. He took that country from third world ancient thinking to a very modern society with great schools, good economy, and not only that, was smart enough to stay away from the IMF and World Bank. And that's what his leadership did. And that kind of leadership is available in every country if it was sought out. But no, we don't want that. We want to rape the nation. We want to vaccinate you and actually poison you with what we know today was an AIDS virus made in Fort Detrick, Maryland. And if you listen to Lorraine Day, you'll know the story about that. So what you need to understand, guys, is that we need a fundamental shift in the leadership of America. We need to get rid of these people. We need to arrest them. We need to get rid of every single politician who has ever taken a dime from APEC and from any Jewish lobby, because the Jewish lobbies are 100% controlled by Zionism. And we have so many Jews coming to our aid now. You know, the Jewish community, believe it or not, is not on board with Zionism. They have not been. Traditionally, they didn't want anything to do with it in Germany either, and that's why many of them ended up in work camps in Germany. They didn't want to leave a cosmopolitan existence, as you would hear if you listened to John Berkus. Christopher John Berkus was telling us that most of the Jews are not interested in Zionism. It's not what their worldview is. But they would make you think that that is the worldview of the Jewish community. It is not. They also want you to think that they're Semitic so that they can call you an anti-Semite. They're not, by and large, Semitic people. They're Ashkenazi Khazarians. They adopted Judaism in the 7th and 8th century, and they come from the steppes of Russia. Thus, they do not look Arab, which is what they would look like if they, Semitic people, ladies and gentlemen, are, as you heard last night by the Bishop of Jerusalem, are the Arabs. They're Semitic, and the real Israelites from that region and actually look more like Palestinians than they do any other group of people, because they're both Semitic peoples. They don't look like Ashkenazi, light-skinned, blue-eyed people. They don't. So you need to understand these arguments, because they mean a lot, these arguments, when you're finally trying to put this story together. They mean a lot. And we're beginning now to break away at the lies they've told, and it is a powerful amount of effort to get through them all, because it's such a conspiracy and it's taken so many generations of people to build. It is coming crumbling down around them. Thank you to the stupidity of this leadership for getting Israel involved in this next stage, because they have brought so many new people to these facts. You have no idea. They just can't seem, their hubris cannot keep them out of making ignorant moves at this point. What I do worry about, though, is because they do control the world's financial system through the Federal Reserve, through the European Central Bank, through the banking system in general around the world, that if they were to pull the rug out from under our finances, people would start scratching the ground for food and for many other things, and that may not be far off in our horizons. And in those kinds of environments, anarchy and discord are generally the rule, not the exception, and you don't usually pay much attention to politics when you're hungry. You're paying attention to survival more often than not. So keep that in mind. You know, there may be a knee-jerk reaction of the American public to try and adopt a despot as a leader if we were to fall victim to anarchy. And you would be clear to know that we would end up like Russia did, with 60 million dead in a 100-year period, and or like Turkey did under the Ataturk, or so many other places that these people have put their signature, including France, when the same group imploded the monarchy in France, which France, before they decided to do it, was the world's leading power, commercially, culturally, in every way. And then all of a sudden, 20 years before they instituted the Jacobin, Huguenot, and Calvinist revolts that came from all sides of France, they engineered this. 20 years before that, they began forcing the public purse into a negative financial situation, just like they did in America. Think about this. 1970, largest creditor nation in the world. Year 2006, largest debtor nation in the history of the world, percentage-wise or any-wise. We are the largest debtor nation. They did it all in 30 years. Now we're ripe for implosion, ripe for takeover, ripe for tyranny. And we need to preserve our institutions, ladies and gentlemen. Just get rid of the cretins that are in charge of them. So make sure we don't lose our judicial structure and our free speech rights and our right to assembly and our right to association and our rights to bear arms, of course, very important, and our rights across the board, because those are the rights that in the long run are going to preserve our constitutional republic. And that constitution as written in 1789, as it was all formulated, was a wonderful and powerful document. Yes, there were Freemasons involved in writing it, but this was long before the Zionists had taken full control of Freemasonry. What you need to understand is that under Weishaupt, the Freemason movement was completely invaded, as they did with the Catholic Church, as they did with Mormonism and many other churches around the world. These people have found their way into the top through either crypto-Judaism. An example of crypto-Judaism would be Billy Graham being a Frank. Look into the Frankist movement. And this man's claiming to be a leader of a Protestant Christianity. Take a look at his roots and his beginnings. Well, it's a big story, huh? It's a big conspiracy. Because we've always believed what they told us. And now we're finding out that all of it's a crock of a malarkey. I was going to say something else there, but and we're faced now with having to stand up to it. Question you got to ask yourself is: do you have the guts? Do you have the courage? Are you going to have the backbone to do it or not? You going to be able to fight when need be? And by fighting, I mean stand up now and start taking action in the precinct situation that we talked about. Let's run somebody for an office here. Let's get a couple of bucks from each person and run some ads, telling the entire truth in the ad. Every word, telling the truth. Can you imagine the shock on people's faces if we told the full truth about the 200 art students, about the bomb residue in the moving vans, the Jewish companies that were moving these art students around, who turned out to be Mossad agents, who turned out to be shipped back to Israel without charge. But if we told the country that Israel has in the last two decades been caught over 50 times spying on America through APEC and other places, and it's just happened again here with a submarine sailor who has been spying on us, again, from Israel. Surprised? You shouldn't be. You shouldn't be. And should you be surprised to think that they're not trying to get rid of the Hezbollah rockets, that they're intentionally not shooting rockets sites so that they can have an enemy to point to in their newscasts? Come on. This rant is brought to you by freedom, justice, and the American way. And the American way, ladies and gentlemen, is not to roll over to this kind of nonsense. We need to fight back with our wits and our energy, and our hearts. We can do it. In fact, we are doing it. Make no mistake about it, these people's days are numbered. We've got them. We will have them all to account. We will hold them to account. This election system of fraud and deceit will be thrown out completely, and we will take back our country one public office at a time. We will roll back these sickening laws that they have foisted upon our society. And we will go back to the bare necessities of our Constitution. We will go back to the founding fathers' original intent. And we will venerate the differences we have with one another. We will not give credence to organizations like the Vanguard, Morris D. Central over there, Southern Poverty Law Center running that place, to have a bad guy, you know? These white supremacist nonsense, boneheads, liars, criminals all, trying to make us fight with each other. Get rid of them out of your whole way of thinking, ladies and gentlemen. There's no difference between us and anybody else except that some people are working for Zionists and some people aren't. The sooner you get that into your head and you understand that Republicans and Democrats are both bought up by these people, you'll be that much further ahead. So much on the website. You need to go there. You need to go there and you need to read. You need to go back in time and listen to some of these files. John Berkus's most recent ones are very powerful, but even before that, Mohammed Rafik will knock you over. Christopher John Berkus's earlier work is really powerful. You know, even Eustace Mullen's work is not to be missed. No. And Ted Pike, of course. Yeah. We've got so much there. And Muscatine Blair had some very important things to add to this battle here that we've been able to get out. The message goes on and on and on. Neil Turner, of course. Magombo Guru on the economy. My partner Eric, over and over again, always spot on with his efforts. Now, we don't want to forget Lorraine Day either. Very important. You know, doing these shows it's very tiring for me. My health is questionable. I've got to tell you, I get very tired. I never share with you just how sick I am, but I'm tired a lot. I'm very tired, and I do it anyway. I buck up, guys, and I fight because what's the alternative? What is the choice? To let these people take over our world? That isn't a choice. There's no choice there. It's not something I will ever permit as long as I'm breathing. Now, mind you, they may have ideas or designs on stopping me from doing that, but I'm a wily coyote over here, you guys, so we'll keep this going as long as I can. Anyway, till the next time, and we will have another interview before the end of the week. I'm not sure who it'll be. Maybe James Dickey, the professor from Scotland, or Robert Owen, or, we've got so many people to choose from. We've got lots and lots of people who want to share the story with us about the facts, the truth. Maybe we'll have Kay Griggs back. How's that? How'd you like that? Anyway, till the next show, ladies and gentlemen, till the next broadcast, this is Daryl Bradford Smith saying goodbye. Be well. Bye-bye now.